On the Road Crónica, 18 de agosto, 2002, Los Angeles. Para John Carlos Rowe, Alistair McCartney, and Paul Nyland. Cuando tenía 17 años, maybe 18, me mudé a la casa de mi novio de entonces, a British-born Kawasaki off-road team mechanic and part-time racer. Yeah, I moved in con él y con sus two male roommates. I didn't have a job for that summer in Santa Cruz, so me fui con todo y mis $400 para vivir en esa bland, one-story, all-male household in los suburbs de Orange County, in Fountain Valley. It was pretty awful. Lo más exciting que me pasó fue when I was sunbathing in pelotas in el backyard, lying there sweating, lamenting being tan close to the beach pero sin auto. Plus, I didn't even know how to drive yet. So ahí estaba, trapped, consigned to that smoggy inland crabgrass-filled yarda. Y el vecino, un fornido gringo house painter whose wife seemed to be permanently visiting her sister, intentó jump the fence para get to know me. Aprendí a conducir en el battered butter-yellow Dodge Econoline van del Paul Nyland, mi novio. It was humongous and only had those big old side espejos, pero the back was blocked por unas cortinitas bien coquetas, and of course by the two huge motocross bikes we were hauling. So comencé a drive around in circulos on the dry lake bed at first. Then I began to back up over my tracks, siguiendo las directions del professional driver boyfriend. Then I started thinking, damn, esto está chupado. Getting good and cocky, following this little dirt road, y de repente veo que all of a sudden, como right out of nowhere, estoy headed for the freeway on-ramp. Y miro medio de reojo, y el Paul está passed out in el front seat after a long, hot, dusty race. The whine de los dirt bikes was still ringing in my ears, y yo ni siquiera había estado racing. Y John Southwick, el roommate, y el otro roommate, Stephen Bovan, killed unos años después by a bullet in the parking lot of the Newport Beach El Torito on a drug deal gone bad, the night before I had a paper due in the contemporary American fiction course del John Carlos Rowe, pero esas otra. Anyway, el Steve también passed out in the back. Y veo los freeway signs que ponen no sé cuál Orange County freeway on a Sunday afternoon heading west from the desert. Los lanes looked like little threads, o más bien like peppermint ribbon candy, shimmering a little bit, porque se aproximaba el sunset y había un glare insoportable. Oh, los little slides in the chutes and ladders game, too skinny, crooked, curving. Negotiating them took todo el self-control and visual and mental powers I'd ever mustered. Ya sé, this is ridiculous, born and bred in Califas, pero this was my first experience driving in un freeway, thrown cual lamb to the slaughter. Los carriles were filled to capacity y yo tuve la sensación de que para change lanes, decisión que no way me iba a atrever a tomar, I'd have to be like Buff, a collie, por ejemplo. My favorite book de la niñez about un hybrid collie bien heroico cuando el Buff estaba separating out the mangy, skinny, no-name brand ovejas que otro unscrupulous rancher había metido into the herd of his master's plump merinos. Tendría que bob and weave, all nimble and agile-footed collie, por encima de las espaldas de los car sheep. Sabía que eventually I would have to aventarme para get off the freeway, pero mientras, I just wanted to feel like a cog in that huge machine, or flow como un droplet in that mercury glide of a río. All right, darling, just keep driving. Right, darling, you're doing great. Christ, watch your left, watch your left. Era mi indicación de que Paul had awakened con un jolt to find himself being driven by his teenage girlfriend on the 91 West about the Fountain Valley at dusk on a scorching, smoggy SoCal summer Sunday. Esto me hizo ponerme bastante más nerviosa. I felt those male motocross eyes on me from all sides porque John and Steve también se habían despertado y comencé a sentir esos little bumps, thunk, 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 under the wheels. Sentí que I was losing control, losing it fast and like I'd been driving, like Tom Joad, or bueno, at least como Kerouac, antebrazos aferrados a ese huge, sweat-slick volante for days. En realidad, I don't remember how I managed to move to the right, through four or five lanes of bumper-to-bumper in that behemoth, canary-colored motorcycle and testosterone-toting vehicle. Los boys me recordaron que teníamos que ir a Disneyland esa noche. Shit, I just laughed. Tenía un atroz headache. My whole body was shaking. No tenía concepto of how people could do this every day. Drive. commute. Juré nunca meterme de nuevo en el freeway. Mi imagen de mí, the one I'd always had ever since I was a little girl, e iba en los freeways con Daddy, solemnly discussing los pros and cons de todas las marcas de auto. Long auburn hair windblown in a 57 T-Bird. Oh no, mejor en un cherry red. Well, chale to that matte black Corvette Stingray. Shattered that day, cuando at last logré guide that phallic Dodge Chariot turned calabaza back into the grease-stained driveway, descender del too-tall bucket driver's seat y balbucear, boys. You go on ahead. I'm way too out of it para Disneyland. I've always hated Disneyland de todos modos. Y así terminó precipitadamente my long-dreamed-of driving career. El mero día que comenzó. Bummer. For at least another 10 years or so, I would be a pasajera only, soñando con deep, rumbly motors and the sudden kick of speed con un suicide clutch, that low, sexy thrum, thrum, que solo una Harley emite. Anyway, un chingo de rides, te digo, pero in all of them, for many, many years, yo iba de pasajera, joint roller, neck masseuse, station changer, storyteller. Esos 3 meses de Orange County teenage housewife are burned forever in my memory. Me sentí absolutamente desprovista de identidad. Y eso que el Paul really had wanted to marry me. A cada rato me lo estaba proposing. The only other time in my whole life, desde los 16 años, that I haven't worked, también me deprimí un chingo, even though it should have been a real happy time. Esto fue right after my baby was born. Y yo había estado en un car accident while I was pregnant y tenía a few months of disability. En esos few short months de no trabajar, de vivir con un relentlessly negative and emotionally caustic marido, hasta dejé de arreglarme, de producirme, como dirían en Buenos Aires. Yeah, I know it seems unbelievable for me, pero te juro, it's true. Y solo me desperté cuando Antoinette, una ex-student, ran into me in el Safeway in Davis, Califas, where I was forlornly pushing the 7-month-old juvenil in the cart and vainly trying to escoger entre two dazzling array of tomatoes. Y ella me dijo, Maestra, uy, pero casi no la reconocí. In that instant, me vi, in Antoinette seeing me, I guess for the first time in months, bueno, in almost a year, I looked myself up and down in esos vegetable mirrors, bien sheepish, y me di cuenta that I was wearing red fuzzy slippers in Safeway. Nunca había hecho una cosa así in my life. Pero there I was, gente, in slippers. You know, esas hideous pantuflas como las housewives in newspaper cartoons wear. Pues eso lo tomé right then and there como allegory de mi vida. De mi vida de casada, de grocery shopper, de stalled doctoral student. Ese casi no reconocimiento de la Antoinette, my hyper-reconocimiento, totally, de repente, en pantuflas. Me separé al mes, pero anyway, esa es otra historia.